right, greetings. Welcome. It's Better's Last Stand. Show number 111 coming to you from the Pine Room Studio in downtown Wheeling after a week hiatus. Hope everybody had a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully you did well on your wagers. Hopefully you enjoyed some good food, some family time, some drinking, some relaxation. Maybe a few good sporting events if there were any out there to watch. I know I've watched a lot of them. I'm not sure how any of them were actually good, but I could think of one at least was pretty good. Probably not for our Ohio friends, but for me it was pretty enjoyable. And we'll continue to march on here. Better's Last Stand. We're back at it, back to the grind, and we'll get ready for a playoff season coming up in football. We got a few more weeks of the NFL regular season, of course. College football playoffs right around the corner. We'll know who is in the 12-team field come. I guess it'll be Sunday. I think Sunday is the reveal show. So stay tuned for that. I know there's going to be some people mad, but really, 12 teams seems to be too many for me. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit, about just some scenarios and some weird things that went on with that committee and stuff. So nonetheless, it's a chilly day here in Wheeling. It's freezing outside, but that's okay. It's better than heat. And we were a little chilly over the last 2 weeks. I wouldn't say chilly. We were up 22.40 units over the last 2 weeks, so not terrible, not a bad couple of weeks. NFL was up and down. We were 12-10 the last 2 weeks, 8-2 last week though, so we were pretty good this past week. Steelers were, I really wish I actually was happy to not do a show because I was out of town, but if I were to have done a show, I was going to give out the Steelers, and I gave it out online, so you can check it out, BLS_PRP, for whenever we're not having a show or there's games that are coming up before show airs or something like that. We always try to put them up there in some capacity, but the Steelers were like a 10-star for me, catching points against Cincinnati last week, and when we talk about the NFL card, I'll continue to talk about how the bookmakers are getting it wrong with Cincinnati, but people keep betting them, so maybe they're not. Maybe that's what the whole goal is, but you're still getting a lot of lopsided action, which is not really the goal. So, I don't know. Their power ratings, to me, way, way, way off, and they're off again this week, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But nonetheless, 8-2 in the NFL last week, 12-10 over the past 2 weeks. College football, 24-16 over the past 2 weeks. We were 7-0 on Black Friday. So, if you're looking for some Black Friday shopping money, if you followed my plays on Twitter, BLS_PRP, or X, as it's called now that Elon owns it, we were 7-0. So a good, strong 7-0 on Black Friday, 2-0 in our best bets again in the last 2 weeks in college football. So a little bit of, not a terrible week by any means, but it could always improve, and we will continue to try to do so. EPL last 2 weeks, we were 12-4-1. Pretty decent Saturday this past week. UEFA Champions League's 8-4 in our match day 5 picks from 2 weeks back. Not this past, actually, well, it was last week, really, but the picks we gave were 2 weeks ago on the show because it wraps around and it goes on to Tuesday and Wednesday of the next week. F1, no good in Vegas. We were 0-3. Didn't have any plays last week. I wasn't in a capacity to be able to watch the race in Doha, so I didn't give up anything. We'll talk about that momentarily, as well as Max Verstappen seems to be back racing pretty well as he gets the win in Qatar. NFL futures, we graded those so far. What we have graded, we still got several more out there. We're 7-2 so far. We have 4 that look pretty good. We need like 1 win left, and we got like the Eagles to win the division, the Steelers, and the Bills. So those all looking real strong. I think I gave Kansas City to win the division, but I had their win total over, so they only need one more win. So, yeah, pretty good start for the NFL. College football, not so good. 8-11 on the season, regular season, not good. Utah derailed us there. So, at least we'll hopefully be making it back up in the NFL. We're off to a very strong 7-2 start with several more good pending wagers out there that should break our way. NBA college basketball, let's talk a little bit about that. NBA, your best ATS teams. Again, we don't talk a whole lot about the NBA. I follow the NBA out of necessity for my employer and what I do for a living, but not because I enjoy it. And it is really, really hard stuff to watch. Watched a little bit over the weekend. It's just bad as it gets. NBA ATS teams, Cleveland 17-5. The Los Angeles Clippers 16-7. Toronto Raptors 15-7. Houston Rockets are 15-6. Over unders. Here we go. Best teams to the over. The Atlanta Hawks, 15-7 to the over. The Memphis Grizzlies, 14-7 to the over. The Denver Nuggets, 12-6 to the over. And the Chicago Bulls, 13-8-1 to the over. Best college basketball teams, ATS. Here's some strange ones here. Texas Pan American, 6-0. Idaho State, 5-0. St. Bonaventure, 7-0. Oregon State, 6-0. Tennessee, 7-1 with a nice cover against Syracuse the other night. Memphis, 6-1. And Marquette, 6-1-1. Marquette, pretty good team. They got a big game, I believe, against Iowa State coming up tonight. So, should be a good one. Worst college basketball teams against the spread. Louisiana, this is formerly Louisiana Lafayette. They call themselves Louisiana now. They're still the Raging Cajuns. They're 0-7 ATS on the season. The St. Louis Billikens, 1-5. The UNLV Running Rebels, 1-5-1. They're not running into the cover book, that's for sure. Charlotte, 1-5. Quinnipiac, 1-6. Oklahoma State, 1-5. They're falling up like your football team. Just can't do anything right. Creighton, 1-6-1. And Creighton's a pretty good team. Can't get any covers, though. Minnesota, 1-6-2, and USC, 1-7. So those are some teams early on in college basketball. Maybe you want to take a shot, a stand against, figure out a way to get on the right side against those teams, at least to start the season. Maybe not to finish the season, but definitely to start the season. Racing recap, as I mentioned, Max Verstappen in to the winners, or actually to the top step of the winners' podium as he gets the job done in Doha last week, edges out. Let's see, who did he beat? I gotta look it up real fast. He beat out Charles Leclerc, who's been racing pretty well. Piastri was third, and George Russell was fourth. So, you know, Max Verstappen is bound to start to get back into the top of the podium, and he led all 57 laps. So, dominating performance. Didn't see a whole lot of the race. The week before that, George Russell wins in Las Vegas. He led 49 laps, holding off his teammate. So Mercedes goes 1-2. Lewis Hamilton finished in second. We had a Ferrari double podium finish, and it didn't work out. They were third and fourth. Sainz and Charles Leclerc both third and fourth. So Max Verstappen was fifth in that race. I still like the momentum of the Ferraris in coming up, and I think that the Ferraris may have a shot here in Abu Dhabi. I for whatever reason, I've been most impressed with them down the stretch here. Charles Leclerc was second in Abu Dhabi last year to Max Verstappen, and I believe he was second the year before that as well. So, yes, he was. He was second. Carlos Sainz was fourth, both to Max Verstappen. One, like a little bit of a dark horse, maybe for a top 10, Yuki Tsunoda. He ran 11th here last, or 2 years ago, 8th here last year. I also thought the Aston Martins, maybe with Lance Stroll and Fernando Alonso, could be top 10 cars this week. But I like the Ferraris here. I think they get a little bit of value on Charles Leclerc at 5-1, 5-6-1. Max Verstappen at +225. Lando Norris +230. I'm a little bit on the fade Lando train right now. He hasn't had a good run in a while, so I'm going to be fading him a little bit. I'm on Piastri. I think Piastri ends up being the better driver at McLaren anyway. He's a second year, and he's really starting to get just as good as Norris is, and Norris has been racing for at least a handful of years, maybe half dozen. So those are some guys to look for. Leclerc, I like the Ferraris this week. I like Oscar Piastri, and I like Yuki Tsunoda. I'll have those picks posted at BLS_PRP as we usually do. Major League Baseball update. Oh, my. Just when you think baseball can't get any stupider, then we get this golden bat situation going on. Came out the other day, Rob Manfred, commissioner of Major League Baseball, was looking into a new twist on the rules, a golden at-bat, which would basically constitute you being able to take your best hitter or your chosen hitter in this particular matchup and put him at the plate against anybody in any situation one time in the game, and the batting order could just change. So if you have your number 9 hitter, you're barely able to reach the Mendoza line second baseman is batting in the 9 hole, or your good defensive catcher who can't hit at all is batting in the 8 hole, and you have two guys on to late in the game, you can put Aaron Judge or Ohtani or Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman or Ronald Acuna. You can just put them in there. Like, no matter what. I don't know if the rules, how it works, if they're
on base already. I don't know how any of this works. It is absolutely ridiculous and stupid. I can't believe it's even being considered for a professional organization. It's minor league, to say the least. I wouldn't even say that's a minor league thing. I guess it's a Savannah Bananas type thing where you're basically going to watch the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. So it's not really taking that serious. It's mostly for fun and intrigue. Well, these when you're spending $500 million on payroll, like some of the, well, I shouldn't say some, a couple teams are, you know, you may want to treat the game a little bit more importantly. So I'm not wild about this. I would say one caveat that I would absolutely, if I was an owner in Major League Baseball and I had to vote this in, the only possible way that I would even consider voting it, and I probably still wouldn't even do it anyway, is if you retire the golden at-bat guy, he's out. He's done for the game. He's shut him down. He can't play the field. He can't hit again. I think that's the only way that I would do it, because you got to give an incentive to the defensive team here, the team pitching, the team in the field. So now there, how are they supposed to strategize? To now you're going to put a golden at bat guy in out of nowhere, unknown to them, and if you still have to face three hitters from your bullpen, it's really not very fair to the team that's throwing. And you know, I can you going to do this in the playoffs? Like, really? I can't believe you would do this. I mean, you could have a guy having 200 something RBIs and like another 10 to 12 home runs if it's, you know, Otani or somebody like that, and obviously Judge and Soto, and like, this is a really terrible idea. I can't imagine it's going to get any traction. I really can't, but who knows? People have voted in dumber things, I guess, but this would take it to the all-time low in sports of the biggest gimmick that I've ever seen. So just when you want to give baseball a little bit of credit, the pitch clock situation I think was a pretty good thing. I thought some of the things they did with the extra inning stuff was okay too. I know a lot of people don't like that. I actually do. It's given us advantages in the betting markets, playing the road teams who have had a distinct advantage being able to knock a couple runs across there in the top of the inning and then hold on to it and maybe use a better reliever than they would if it was a regular rules. But when you don't have somebody starting on base and you're not guaranteed to probably get at least a shot at a sac fly. But anyway, I digress. Nonetheless, the golden at bat thing is absolutely ridiculous. Juan Soto's in the news again. He continues to make statements about potential suitors for him. The Dodgers now involved. People are mad about that, but I don't really blame the Dodgers if they're going to keep buying all these players. You know, that's not their fault that no one else wants to pay. So if they're able and willing to pay, then good for them. Let them go for it. We haven't had back-to-back World Series champion in probably, geez, it's got to be almost 20 years, maybe more than 20 years. So I don't think it's impacting baseball like people think it is. Spend more is my advice to these owners who don't like it. Spend more or vote in a floor. A Major League Baseball salary floor has got to be higher. It needs to be, you know, 75, 80 million, whatever. Even it should be 100, but, you know, some of these teams aren't ever going to budge for that. But that's what it should be. Every team should have to spend $100 million in a season. Every team. Because then you're going to make sure that things are kind of even. And then if the Dodgers want to spend $1 billion, half a billion, three quarters, that's up to them. There's no rule there. So no, it's not saying that nobody else can do it. Everybody else can. So go do it and shut up. So that's my thoughts on baseball. Hopefully Soto. I would probably most like to see Soto go to Boston just because it would make Yankee fans mad. I mean, he's a total a-hole, but he's a really good player. He didn't used to be like that in Washington. I think the rumors of him going back to Washington are really stupid. I don't really get that. I mean, that'd be a heck of a full circle, but they're not quite ready yet. They're going to need a little bit more before they can contend. So they're getting there, but their pitching is not panned out. All those prospects they got back for them, the pitching part has not lived up to expectations. But we'll see where Juan Soto ends up. Hopefully, I hope he goes to Boston. That's where I want him to go. But I'm a little biased there. And then I would say it's fine with the Mets just because it's not the Yankees. All right, hockey. Let's talk a little hockey. NHL period data so far. Here we go. We're starting to get some really juicy, juicy trends here. Big percentages in our favor So start getting on these things. Start figuring out ways to make some cash off these first period, second period, third period props in the NHL. First period overs, Washington Capitals 19-5. They're on a 9-1 run. So 9 of their last 10 first periods, they've had at least 2 goals total, either them and their opponent in the game. So it's one of these things that just continues to give. So Washington 19-5, 9-1 in the last 10. Florida 18-8, 7-3 in their last 10 to the over in the first period. The Columbus Blue Jackets, they're going to make a lot of appearances here. They've really been scoring and giving up quite a few goals. They're 15-8 and 9-1 in their last 10 to the over in the first period. Second period overs, it's the Florida Panthers 22-3, 9-1 in their last 10 over in the second period. Washington 18-6, 7-3 run over in the second period. Columbus again 17-6, 8-2 run over in the second period. Third period numbers, the Montreal Canadiens 22-2 to the over in the third period. That's not like a statistical hiccup or anything. That is a full-scale, strong, data-driven, analytically driven trend right there. Montreal 22-2 over in the third period, 9-1 on in the last 10, 9-1 run in their last 10 over in the third period. Carolina Hurricanes 20-4 over in the third period. Carolina gets a lot of empty netters, so you see a lot of 2-goal third periods for them, which is plenty. It's all you need. 20-4, 8-2 run to the over in their last 10. And then the Ottawa Senators 19-5 over in the third period, 9-1 in their last 10. In the third period. I mean, those are some strong, and it's 90%, 80%, 90%, 90%, 70%, 80%, 90%, 70%, 90%. I mean, that's some, those are strong numbers. And as I said before, if you can match these up, like say Washington plays Columbus or Washington plays Florida, and there's, you know, I would say any team that's hitting at 80 or better, and you pair them up against another team that's hitting 80 or better, you got to push the button on that. You got to go. You got to go. The odds are in your favor. And if you think the juice is too much, okay, play goal in the first 10. You can even play adjusted ones. You can play 2 flat with a plus price. If you get to 2, you push. If you get over the 2, then obviously you win. So you can find some creative ways to make some money with these. But these trends are great. They're strong. They're very, very strong trends. You can also try playing highest scoring period. So if you're seeing 2 of these teams, one team is very low scoring in the first period, low scoring in the second period. Then you got a third period situation where maybe, just maybe, they light the scoreboard up in the third period. Then you want to play third period to be your highest scoring period. So you can look for some of that too. All the data you can find, I believe the guy's name's Chris Otto. He posts it on his Twitter page. It's a really good follow, really, really good data. He updates it each and every week. So, or actually, it's every couple of days. Once the schedule, you know, rotates through and teams have all played, he'll update them. But you got really good numbers there. You can use them, and there's all different kinds of markets to bet into now that you never used to have. You never used to have these. I remember when they first did first periods, that was like all you had. So it was just like, okay, they could juice these things whatever they wanted. Now, it took them a while to catch on, but they didn't. They took a while, and then they finally did. And then, okay, we got to find other markets, and here we go. Seconds and thirds and first goal in the first 10, goal in the first 5, highest scoring period. There's stuff out there every single night. So NHL, great place to find good data-driven trends. ECHL, Nailers tied for first place in the North, 25 points. They're tied with Norfolk right now. They got 2 games in hand. Nailers playing awesome right now. They will be home against Kalamazoo on Friday at Reading. That's tonight. Reading Sunday at home at 4 o'clock, and then in between that, they play 3 in a row, so it's a good thing we got good goaltending. Cincinnati will be hosting the Nailers on Saturday night. I had to move the Nailers to the favorites in the ECHL North Division. Nailers now sit at plus 165 to win that division, followed by the Norfolk Admirals, plus 195. Then it's the Trois-Rivières Lions, plus $2, or 2-1, plus 250 on Adirondack. Then we got Worcester at $5.75, Reading at $6, and Maine at $6.25. Had to adjust the point totals as well. Nailers all the way up to a trek of 89.5 points in the division right now, in the North Division. So we'll see. 89.5, that's a tall number to get to, but right now they are playing exceptionally well, and you got to think the Penguins are playing okay too, and injuries, knock on wood, haven't hit too badly yet. So the Nailers still poised to continue to climb up the standings. We're going to take a break here on Better's Last Stand, episode number 111. We'll be back after the break to dive into football, football, football. We got soccer, we got NFL, we got college football championship games this week, getting ready for the college football playoff. Just a couple other things, out of season stuff. Obviously, we're done with the CFL, the AFL, golf will start coming back, you know, in the early winter here. There's the Hero World Tour, I believe, is this week, but it's only like a 25-guy field, and it's just not really worth trying to handicap. Scottie Scheffler's the favorite, of course, and you have the showdown. I believe that's a Sunday. That's the LIV versus PGA guys. Curious about that one yet. I was still trying to price that today, so we'll have that over at Wheeling Island Hotel Casino Racetrack Sportsbook, so you can watch that and bet on Sunday. That's Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler taking on who is it? Oh, Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. I believe it's Sunday. So we'll keep an eye on that, but it's a little bit quiet on those fronts right now. Obviously, baseball out of season, and we'll be starting to dive in a little bit more to college basketball. Start looking at some teams that maybe, as we start doing some conference games here the last couple of nights, we've got some in action tonight, a couple yesterday, and we'll start getting an idea of who can actually be good this year in college basketball. There's a lot of teams out there that that could be in the discussion. All right, that's going to do it for the first segment of Better's Last Stand. Show number 111. We'll be back after the break to talk all things football, the round football, and the pigskin football that everybody here in North America likes, as Liverpool, I believe, just went ahead 3-2. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 111. We'll be back in a moment.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Better's Last Stand.
All right, greetings. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 111, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling. It's frigid outside, but it's warm in here. Hopefully, we continue to stay warm with our wagers and our recommendations over this weekend and in the coming days here, as we're back in after a Thanksgiving hiatus. Good to be back. Actually, I don't really mean that, but it's good to be back with you, the listeners, but not necessarily good to be back in Wheeling. It's freezing cold here. The air is disgustingly polluted and gross, and my allergies, which I don't even really have, are acting up already, and it's freezing cold, and my skin's starting to dry out, and I would much rather be back seaside where things are just a lot more pleasant. The land of pleasant living, we'll call it. But we're going to try to make it pleasant for you here. We were up over 22 units the last 2 weeks. If you followed us, BLS_PRP while we were out last week, but we have the previous week's games to recap. So let's go through that here on a Football Friday, our final Football Friday, presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club here on the Watchdog Network. We will be in studio, of course, or we were in studio, and it's now starting to kind of feel like winter out there. So can't camp out at Gumby's anymore, not when it's 19 degrees outside. But thanks to our friends at Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club for another wonderful year of Watchdog Football Fridays. Our two schools bowed out last week with Wheeling Central and Wheeling Park, both falling in playoff action. Good seasons for them, and we're on to basketball. So plenty more to highlight here on the Watchdog Network, as if you caught it on Tuesday night, Soup and Coach were over at Wheeling Central for Wheeling Central girls against the Martins Ferry Purple Rider girls in a very good basketball game. You heard that right here on the Watchdog Network. That was the debut of the Pine Room Watchdog basketball season, and we got plenty more games to come, so stay tuned. And I was going to say check your local listings, but just follow us and follow the Watchdog Network, watchdognetwork.com. Follow the stream. You got all the good things that you need on there.
We'll have the schedule up. We'll have social media posts. And, of course, you can check us out every single Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. I believe we're going to be moving back. This will be our final Football Friday from the 2 to 5 slot. Maybe one more week with the Christmas party, radio Christmas party. And then the following week, we'll probably be back to our regular noon slots on Friday. Nonetheless, follow us each and every week on the Watchdog Network. We'll keep you apprised of the basketball schedules and the things going on. Of course, we're in the season of weather, so you might start getting snow outs and all that kind of bizarre stuff. All right, let's recap it again. As I said, we were up 22.40 units over the last 2 weeks, so not great, but not terrible. College football, we were 24-16, 2-0 in our best bets over that two-week span, 7-0 on Black Friday. So if you had our plays on Black Friday, you followed us on BLS underscore PRP on X, you had a good 7-0 on Friday, and you could afford all your Christmas gifts that you wanted to buy on Black Friday. So hopefully you did. We were 7-0 on Black Friday. We'll take that anytime. NFL 12-10 over the last 2 weeks. We were 8-2 last week, though, with our big 10-star cashing with the Steelers. Oh, man, I haven't loved the game that much since the opening week last year when they played Cincinnati. Everybody's telling me Cincinnati's favored. Everybody will take Pittsburgh. Everybody. Tomlin can't be getting points. Well, but then everybody still bets Cincinnati. I agree. Tomlin shouldn't have been getting points. Pittsburgh should have been a 1.5 or 2 point favorite in that game. It was outrageous. It was mispriced. It was clear from the start. And if Russell Wilson doesn't get that bizarre pick six where Pickens gets shoved down and the guy picks it off and runs it back, that's a 35-point blowout. The Bengals had no prayer in that game after the Browns got humiliated. Or the Browns humiliated the Steelers, sorry. The Steelers are the ones that got humiliated by the Browns right here on the Watchdog Network. And you thought the Steelers were going to come out and just lay an egg? No way. Not against that bad team. Burrow turns it over 3 times. Tired of hearing how good he is. He puts up stats in garbage time when the game's never decided. He doesn't know how to manage a game. He doesn't take care of the ball. And I'm sick of hearing how good Cincinnati is. And I got plenty more to say about that when we talk about the NFL card. But we were 12-10, 8-2 last week in the NFL. EPL 12-4-1 over the last 2 weeks, 8-4 in the Champions League. That was match day 5. That was early Thanksgiving week. No good in the F1s back at Vegas. We didn't play anything at Doha. College football future bets, we were 8-11 on the season. Not good. Our ship sank quick with Utah and a few of these other really bad ones. I had a couple in the ACC. California started out just great for us, tanked. Cincinnati in the Big 12, catastrophe. Of course, Pitt has to lose every game after they go over the 6. I had them under. Wake Forest was a good one for us. Stanford, we had Stanford, I think they were like 3-1, and they ended up 3-9. So, yeah. So, some bad ones there. Nothing worse than Utah, though. The Utah situation, I'm never backing them again. I hate that team. I'm never backing them again, ever. I'm never trusting them. I thought Winningham is just a better program runner than he is. Oh, and Newcastle ties it up on Liverpool 3-3. What a match that is. All right, let's get back to it. College football, as I said, best bets 8-11 on the season, the future bets. NFL futures, though, 7-2 so far. We got 4 other ones looking really strong, either teams that have a stranglehold on the division or only need one more game to get over their win totals. We'll recap those when the time is right. Bad beats, let's talk about this. I'll talk more about college football playoff rankings because I still don't understand what they're trying to get at here. It's really bizarre. Georgia Tech money line. If you had Georgia Tech money line the other day, Friday night, that was Black Friday. That was one of the games we had. We had an over. Didn't look very good early on. We had Georgia and Georgia Tech over. Georgia was struggling, down 17, a mess. Come out in the second half, still can't score. Go 3-out in their first drive. But they put it together, and that's the thing about this Georgia team, man. They persevere when times are not easy, and they're facing a difficult situation, and they come back, get it in overtime, win the game in overtime. It goes, I think, went 8 overtime, so yeah, gets the job done for us. So if you had Georgia Tech there on a money line bet, condolences. That's a really hard one to swallow. Just about as bad as this one. Vanderbilt plus 10 against Tennessee. They were up 17-0. People are putting Tennessee on upset alert. Calm down. Vols come back. They win it 36-23 and cover it. And then Monday Night Football. Oh, boy. If you had this poor Browns team, you heard it right here on the Watchdog. The pick six heard around the world. Browns trailing late. And pick six. Jameis is second of the night. The Broncos minus 6.5.
Looks like it was going to be the Browns covering that 6.5. You're thinking maybe they'll win the game outright. Oh, no. Pick six the other way. 41-32 final. The Broncos win it. And Jameis, he's great for the overs, I'll tell you that. So I think Jameis probably at least 3-1 of the overs since he's been the starter. But tough one there. If you had those, I apologize. That's just the way this game goes sometimes. Industry news, Carolina Panthers will be an underdog for the 33rd straight game. This week, they're a 12-point dog to Philadelphia. Carolina has been a dog 41 of their last 42 games. They're 17-22-2 ATS during the span. And on the other side of that, Denver, the best cover team in the league. Now, go and look at their schedule, though. Please do me the favor and go look at the schedule they've played. Okay, and then tell me that they're good. 10-3 ATS so far, 6-0 as a favorite. I'm tired of hearing about Peyton. I'm tired of hearing about Bo Nix. Bo Nix has been a little bit better, but he's not that good. And Sean Payton has proven time after time, got a Hall of Fame quarterback for a dozen years, won one Super Bowl on a gift, and cried because he got cheated by the Rams, which really wasn't even the Rams' fault. But I just don't think that dude's a good coach. Top ATS teams in the NFL, 9-3 to the Lions. Pittsburgh's 9-3, Buffalo 8-4, Arizona 8-4, Philadelphia 8-4, Washington 8-4-1, and Minnesota 7-4-1. So all teams that obviously are pretty good straight up as well. A Louisiana bettor wagered $30,000 on Monday night for Jerry Jeudy to have over 58.5 receiving yards. Oh, man, against the Broncos. It was a -117 juice, pretty good price. Jeudy had 235 yards, so pretty happy fella there. $30,000, he probably brought back, you know, over $20,000 of profit. So pretty nice night for that guy. Nice to see one of those work out for once. NFL favorites on the season, 133-59 straight up, 96-91-5 ATS. NFL home teams, 96-94 straight up, 101-84-5 ATS. So not very lopsided there. NFL overs now 101-91-3. So all these numbers kind of fall right around even, maybe a little bit shaded to one side or the other. Lopsided ticket counts from last week in the NFL. 85% of tickets were on the Houston Texans. They did not cover the 3.5. 81% on Seattle, they did. Plus the one, that was a winner. 81% on Tampa, -6.5. They barely won the game against Carolina. We were on that here on Bettors Last Stand. So that was 81% losers there. 80% on Buffalo, -6. That one was one we were on. 75% on the Chargers, -1. They get the job done. That's a winner. 76% on the Rams, -3. That was a winner. 71% on Denver, -6. We just talked about it. Pick six makes that a winner. Indy, 70% of the tickets on Indy. We had the right side of that. Boy, heartbreaker if you had New England money line or if you have New England to go over their win total like we have. Oh, God, gut-wrenching. 70% of those tickets were on Indy. They did not cover. 70% on Minnesota Vikings, -3. They did not cover. They were lucky to win as well. We were on Arizona in that game. Lopsided tickets for this week in the NFL, week 14. 83% on the Bills, -4.5. 70% on the Bears, +4. 70% on the Bengals, -5.5. Why do people keep betting the Bears and the Bengals? What am I missing? What are they seeing that I'm not seeing? I guess I'm seeing the right stuff because these teams don't cover. So I don't know. Saints, 67% on them. I don't understand that. -5, 66% on the Steelers, -6.5. That one I can kind of understand. Revenge game for the Browns. 66% on the Dolphins, -6. College football action. Alabama has gone from a small dog to make the playoff to now a -$2 favorite to be in the playoff after the last ranking was revealed last night. Look ahead lines. I see. I don't think these are actually going to come to fruition. I don't think you can. I don't know how you can say these are going to happen because to me, how could you have Penn State playing Arizona State and you feel good about that? So that's assuming you think Arizona State's going to win the Big 12. Well, what if Penn State beats Oregon? They're not going to play them. So anyway, if the favorites win all the games, then maybe this is the way it works out. Penn State laying 14 against Arizona State at Happy Valley. Ohio State would play Tennessee -7.5. They were rewarded basically for losing to a
barely 500 team. I don't understand that. We'll talk about it in a couple minutes. Notre Dame minus 2.5 against Alabama. Totally disagree with that line. That will be a game in South Bend. And then you have Georgia minus 10.5 against Indiana. I would be probably running to the window to bet that Georgia. I don't think any of those matchups are actually going to happen. Maybe Ohio State and Tennessee, because neither one of those teams play. But and I guess Notre Dame and Alabama don't. But Alabama, it's no guarantee they're in. Most likely they're going to be in, but no guarantee. Georgia has got to play. Penn State's got to play. Arizona State's got to play. So I thought I was weird, but I thought I'd at least mention those are some look-ahead lines that have been posted. College football ticket counts from for this week. So this is where the public money is so far. 93% of tickets on Oregon minus 3.5. Watch out, people. Watch out. 75% of tickets on Texas minus 2.5. Didn't Georgia just go down to Texas and beat the hell out of them about a couple months ago, or less than a couple of months ago? And here we are on a neutral field, and Texas is laying points. Again, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what planet that I'm on. And again, I'm not trying to hate on Texas. I'm not. I've said that time and time again. I think Texas is a good program. I think they're trending in the right direction. It's good to see them back. They're in the playoff last year. They're going to be in the playoff this year. I'm not saying that they're bad by any means, but come on. We have these numbers are not right. They're just not right. And the public is telling you they're not right because they're betting it. And that should be a sign for you to run. 83% on Arizona State minus 1.5. That one I kind of will get behind. I think they're playing very well. Watched more of them than I had all season on Saturday, and they are pretty good. 86% on Tulane minus 4.5 against Army. 68% on Marshall plus 6. 75% on SMU minus 2.5, and 67% on Jacksonville State minus, or 67% on Jacksonville State minus the points. College football title game, title game sharp money action. I don't know. I just made a mess of that. College football championship game sharp ticket action. So this would be where sharp money is showing up. You're seeing large amounts of money from respected bettors on this. So you got 87% of the money is on Boise and UNLV under the total. 93% on Miami, Ohio, minus 2.5 against Ohio. 90% of the money on the over in the Iowa State-Arizona State game. And 84% of the cash is on Louisiana, minus 5.5 against Marshall. So you got some differing opinions there. You got Louisiana. The sharp guys are on Louisiana. The public seems to be on Marshall so far. Does that mean it's a guarantee? Absolutely not. So adjust accordingly, I guess I'll say. All right, let's get into some round ball action before we jump back into the pigskin here. Again, we've been pretty good in EPL and UEFA Champions League over the last few weeks. EPL 12-4-1 the last 2 weeks. UEFA Champions League 8-4 for match day number 5. We got some EPL matches finishing up right now. Let's get into what we like on the card for this weekend. Saturday, it'll be an early match. It's Liverpool and Everton, the Merseyside Derby. This is the most hated two fan bases, like, that hate each other, probably arguably in the world. Maybe a few others are close, but maybe Michigan, Ohio State. But Liverpool and Everton, they would actually probably beat the pants off of any Ohio State or Michigan fan as far as toughness and brutality goes. So Liverpool on the road at Everton, Merseyside Derby at Goodison Park. Liverpool just played a 3-3 draw against Newcastle in a very exciting match. Just got over. Everton, they played very well today too. They've single-handedly put a game over against Wolves. They scored 4 goals in that match against Wolves, 4-0 the final there. It's Liverpool minus 208, Everton plus about $5, draws plus 375. Bookings are something to look at here. There's been 5 straight unders in this series, so I think that's interesting. I think Everton to score a goal is worth a play, score at least 1 goal. They seem to do that regularly, and they're coming in with some momentum. They played very well today. Both teams to score, I think, is a very good play. Liverpool in top form right now scoring wise, so you're going to get some goals there. I think I'd be a little bit worried about the unders in the series, but I could see this being like a 1-1, and there's going to be a ton of chances. Bookings could be high. You got, you know, the players probably don't dislike each other as much as the fans, but
the fans will fuel this this matchup. Liverpool have a matchup at Girona on Tuesday. I don't think they're going to be too worried about that. Girona's very bad, and Liverpool is in great form. So we're going to go with bookings over, both teams to score, and Everton to score a goal in the Merseyside derby. Newcastle at Brentford. We just talked about Newcastle, 3-3 draw with Liverpool today, so a good performance out of them. They're at Brentford. I like both teams to score in this match. Brentford plus 185 on the money line. Newcastle plus 135. I don't understand how they're favored on the road. Brentford can play at home especially. They're very good at home. So we're going to go with both teams to score and Brentford on the money line. You can play that draw no bet if you would like as well. Although I will say Newcastle has won the last five in this series, but I think Brentford gets them. Newcastle maybe a little bit of a letdown spot after a nice performance today. Southampton, Aston Villa be Southampton plus 540, Villa minus 230, and the draw plus $4. Aston Villa, they had a game today. They're actually playing Brentford. That game's still going on right now. So we'll see what happens there. Villa, big game on the road at Leipzig on Tuesday in the Champions League. Actually, they should roll in that game. Four of the last five in this Southampton-Aston Villa matchup have stayed under. That's where we're going here. We're going under three. I think Aston Villa just does a business-like performance. They're very buttoned up. They're not going to give up a whole lot of chances. So we'll go with Villa and Southampton under the three. Manchester City finally gets a win. They lost several in a row, and they finally win today in impressive fashion over Nottingham Forest. They'll be at Crystal Palace. City minus 185 plus 475. That's going to go up after today's win. Draw plus 345. City plays at Juventus on Wednesday. They really, really need that match, and they've been struggling and have been in terrible form. But Crystal Palace, they haven't beat Manchester City at home since 2015. So that could be a little bit of an issue, but we shall see. Selhurst Park should be hopping, and I really don't have a play in this game. Three of the last four went over in the game. I don't know. City was a little bit better defensively today, but the big match with Juventus would tell me that maybe this is an under game, like a 1-1 or something. Nottingham Forest just got shellacked by City. They'll be on the road at Manchester United. United minus 140 plus 365 plus $3 on the draw. Nottingham Forest has not won at Old Trafford, which is Manchester United Stadium. They have not won there since 1994. So that could be a little bit of an issue. But I don't know. Manchester United has not played very well. So they have a match with Victoria Kazan, I believe, on Thursday of next week. That is in Slovakia, so they're going to have a little bit of a travel. Maybe under the three is where I'm leaning here. Three of the last five Forest and United games under the three, so I'm going to go under in Forest and United. Arsenal at Fulham, a London derby here on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Arsenal minus 165 plus 430 for Fulham plus 320 on the draw. This is, as I said, a London derby. Arsenal will take on Monaco on Wednesday. I think both teams score here. Fulham has a knack for scoring in these London derbies, so I think they'll at least get one goal. I would probably lean towards one of those little money line parlays that I don't give out very often. But in soccer, you can basically correlate them with no penalty. So you play Arsenal money line and over 1.5 or over 2.5, and you get a little bit of a plus price there. So I think that's worth a shot. Fulham has taken points in the last two matches against Arsenal. They have a win and a draw, so maybe Fulham is a little frisky here. I like the game over as well, so we're going to go over the 2.5 for the last five in this meeting. Have one over. Brighton at Leicester. Brighton minus 135, Leicester plus 345, plus 305 on the draw. I like both teams to score here. Both teams to score in the last six meetings has happened between Brighton and Leicester. I also like Brighton. I think you're getting them at a pretty good price there. Can even play them minus an Asian handicap goal or two and get a better price there. But I think Brighton need a little bit of value. Leicester, not very good. So we'll go with Brighton and Hove, both teams to score in that one. Bournemouth at Ipswich Town. It'll be Bournemouth plus 120, Ipswich plus 215, plus 270 on the draw. I like both teams to score here. I think that will probably happen. Draws in the last four meetings, so maybe that plus 270 on the draw looks pretty good to you. I lean Bournemouth here. They're a little bit better team. I know Ipswich is all right at home, but I think both teams to score. There could be some goals in this game. Maybe a lean to the over, too, but I'm going with Bournemouth and both teams to score. Chelsea and Tottenham, another London derby. The Chelsea is on the road here at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. man, it used to be called White Hart Lane, and we called it Three Point Lane because they would win every single time they went there. Chelsea's got a match here. They played well today. They got a nice victory this afternoon. They play Astana, I believe, on Thursday. That's a Kazakhstan team. So I don't think that's going to be a game they're too worried about. This is a big, big rivalry. Maybe the Astana game might be an under. Huge rivalry game. Chelsea's won the last two. Bookings could be high here. So go over in bookings. Three of the last five stayed under. Spurs has a game at Rangers. They don't have to travel very far, but a little bit more demanding game than what Chelsea has. I really don't have a play in this. I would go bookings over would be probably the most likely outcome. Spurs has only scored two times. I'm sorry. I had this written down as Spurs as the home team, and they are the home team. So I don't know why I wrote down a note that Spurs had not scored, has only scored two goals at Stamford Bridge in their last four meetings. Well, it doesn't really matter because they're not playing at Stamford Bridge. So anyway, disregard that tidbit nonetheless. All right, let's move on to Champions League action and get you caught up on a few things going on there here as we're on our final Football Friday here on the Watchdog. It's Better's Last Dance show, number 111. No pregame show tonight. We're just taking you into Mountaineer basketball, I believe, this evening as they take on Georgetown. But we had our final Football Friday show of the year from 2 to 5. We'll have our Christmas show next week, and then it's back to the noon slot on Friday for us. But don't forget, Watchdog basketball season heating up right now. We had Ferry Girls at Central Girls last night. Central getting the job done. On Tuesday night, not last night. But Tuesday night, and that was our first broadcast of the season. Soup and Coach on the call there did a great job over there at Central in downtown Wheeling. All right, so rolling along here on episode 111 of Better's Last Stand, recapping a few things. Actually, we're just going to give you some plays and go through what we got here in the Champions League. So Champions League on Tuesday, Liverpool at Girona. As I said, Liverpool, hard-fought battle today. Merseyside Derby on Saturday. They have a rough week right now. They're unbeaten in 17. I like under in this game. I think they come in, they just want to get out of here with a victory. They've got to be all used up as far as emotion. They have a comeback 3-3 draw today with Newcastle, and then taking on Everton in the Merseyside Derby on Saturday. That's going to be really, really strenuous. So we go under the three. Celtic at Dynamo Zagreb. Zagreb won 4-3 the last time they met. I like both teams to score in that tilt on Tuesday afternoon. Bayern Munich, Shakhtar Donetsk, first meeting since 2015. Bayern Munich could probably use this. They're probably going to win. They're an $8 favorite here. Can't recommend anything other than an under. I like under 3.5 in this game. Bayern Munich's playing a very different style. They're not run and gun. They're very, very buttoned up. Shakhtar struggles to score. So we go with Bayern Munich to get the road win under 3.5. Sporting Lisbon at Club Brugge, the 10th place Sporting Lisbon, who was not good their last two outings. We had them one of those times. Club Brugge, 22nd. They need this very, very badly. They've won 4-3 in 2019 against Sporting Lisbon. Can they do it again? I don't know. They're a plus 225 dog. Lisbon around plus 115. I can't play these Portuguese teams on the road. I've said that time and time again. I will not do it. So we're going Sporting Lisbon and Club Brugge. A draw, no bet on Club Brugge. We're not playing Lisbon. I do not like them at all. So we're going to go with Club Brugge at the plus price to draw or win the game. PSV Eindhoven at Brest. PSV plus 125. Brest plus 216. Draw around 245, 250. PSV needs this. They're in 18th spot. This is a winnable game. Brest started out well, but they're just not a very good team. So we'll go with PSV at a nice plus price. The better team wins there on Tuesday. Also a Tuesday match, Real Madrid at Atalanta. Real Madrid comes in plus 150 favorite. Atalanta plus 175, 265 on the draw. Real Madrid needs this. They're like 24th in the table right now. That is a danger zone right now for them. They're 3-0 against Atalanta all time. But I can't really recommend them here. I'm going to go under in this game, under the 3.5. You know, as I said before, Atalanta has played a totally different style. They're very guarded. And I think Real Madrid will be businesslike. And I don't think they're going to take many chances because they cannot have another showing like they did last week. Very poor performance by Real Madrid against Liverpool. They can't keep dropping games. They've got to start to win these. So lean to Real Madrid, but we're going under the 3.5. Aston Villa at Red Bull Leipzig. Aston Villa comes in the ninth spot. RB Leipzig, 34th. Whew. Aston Villa lost 8 straight going into today. I don't know what they're doing right now. I don't have the game on. Actually, maybe I could put it on, but I can't. There we go. I can reach the remote now. This game may still be going on right now if I can find it. Aston Villa and Brentford. No, can't find it. Never mind. Sorry for the delay. Let's get to it. I know you want to hear not Canadian football, but North American pigskin games. Anyway, RB Leipzig, they won 2-0 in the club friendly. They've lost 6 in a row. I got no play in that game. Inter Milan and Bayer Leverkusen, both teams to score, is where we'll be going in that one. Leverkusen's never beaten Milan. They're 6th in the table. Inter Milan, 2nd. Also a Tuesday game, our last Tuesday game, PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. They need this game. They're 25th in the table against 32nd team in Salzburg. PSG minus 260. We're going to go on the Asian handicap minus 1.5 there, get a little bit better of a price, but they have to win that game. Wednesday matchups in the UEFA Champions League. Atletico Madrid host Slovan Bratislava. Bratislava comes in 35th in the table. Atletico, we had them last week, and they won 6-0, so they're playing pretty well. They're 15th. I like them to win this game by at least 2 goals. They're red hot. I like this game over 3 as well. Look for Atletico Madrid to continue to play well. Sturm Graz at Lille. Lille in 12th. Graz in 29th. I like Lille here. I think you're getting a cheap price on Lille. They're minus 185. If you want to play that down a little bit, play a minus 175 or minus 1.25 on the Asian handicap. Get a nice plus price there. Lille at home, they roll in this game. Sparta Prague at Feyenoord. We had Feyenoord against Manchester City last week. That was both teams to score, and Feyenoord to score twice. And what else do we have? Feyenoord to score over 2 goals. So a good performance there. They're in 21st. They could use this game too. They had a nice draw. It was 3-3. I like goals in this game. We're going over to 2.5. Prague will surrender them for fun. Feyenoord at home should roll in this game. So we're going to go with Feyenoord on the Asian handicap and over the 2.5 or 3. Young Boys, the last ranked team in the competition, they will take on Stuttgart. Stuttgart, 27th. Desperately need this game. We'll go Stuttgart. They're minus 275. I'm not laying that. So we're going to go minus 1.5 or 1.25 on the Asian handicap. So Stuttgart at home, they've won the last 4 in this matchup. So hopefully they get the job done there. And then Manchester City at Juventus. Again, these are all Wednesday matches. Manchester City, they've never beat Juventus. 0-2-2. Juventus at home, a plus $3 favorite. City's been slumping a little bit. I lean Juventus, even though City did win today. I'm going to go with Juventus with a nice plus price, probably a draw no bet to be sure that we're covered either way. Red Star Belgrade at AC Milan. I like this game under. AC Milan 2-0-2 against Belgrade. I don't think Belgrade's got much for them. They're 31st in the competition. Milan 16th. I like this game under the 3 or 3.5 at a good solid fair price. Bologna at Benfica. Benfica, the 14th ranked team in the table. They're minus 170 against Bologna, who's been very bad. I backed them once earlier. Not going to do that again. We'll be on Benfica, the Portuguese side. They're at home, so the only way we'll play them, minus the 1.25 or 1.5 on the Asian handicap. Monaco and Arsenal, sneaky good game here. Arsenal's won the last 2. They won 5-4 last year in a shootout. I leaned a little bit to Monaco, but I like goals in this game. So we'll go over the 2.5 there. Small lean to Monaco at plus $8 on a draw. No bet. It might not be too bad. Probably aren't going to win, but I think goals are the way to go. Barcelona at Borussia Dortmund, another good game to conclude Wednesday's Champions League action. Barcelona won the last meeting 3-1. But Dortmund right now is playing pretty hot. I like the way they're playing right now. I like them in a draw no bet scenario here. So we're going to go with Dortmund at the plus $2 price or draw no bet against Barcelona on Wednesday. And those are our Champions League plays. We'll be recapping. That was, I think we're match day 6 now. So yeah, so Tuesday and Wednesday, good ones there. I'll have them up on the BLS underscore PRP X site. So check that out. Again, Liverpool, Inter Milan, Barcelona, Dortmund, Atalanta, Bayer Leverkusen, Arsenal, Monaco, Aston Villa, Sporting. They're the top 10 teams in the table right now. So we'll see what happens. This is a really interesting format and long way to go, but it's starting to get to the time where teams need to win. They can't be messing around any longer. All right, college football action. We're getting into it. It's championship week. Everybody gets excited, but first, let's go over this first round playoff scenarios. If you watched the show the other night, the unveiling, they have Oregon rated number one, Texas two, SMU three, Boise State four. Absolutely ludicrous. If you think those are the top four in that order, you got problems. Penn State five, Notre Dame six, Georgia seven, Ohio State eight, Tennessee nine, Indiana 10, Alabama 11, Arizona State 12. Again, if you think those are the right order, that's crazy. So first round games as of right now, Arizona State at Penn State, Tennessee at Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, Indiana, and at Georgia. We went over those with you earlier on some of the look-ahead lines. Well, I was looking for some value, and you look through, and you got Ohio State, and you have Texas is actually the favorite. Actually, I'm wrong. Oregon is the favorite, plus 350. Texas is second choice at plus 425. Ohio State, still 4.5 to 1 to win the national championship. Like, what are we watching? Like, did you watch the game the other day? That team's got some deficiencies, and the Howard kid is not any good. And I think you've heard me say that here a time or two. They really messed up by thinking that guy was going to solve all their problems. But they just lost that home to a really not very good Michigan team. Then you got Georgia at plus 475. If you look at these, which one of these teams don't belong? We had Oregon beat Ohio State, and you had Georgia just massacre Texas, and they're going to get a shot at them again tomorrow. But I don't know how you're grouping these teams like this. It's just bizarre to me. I don't see the love affair with Texas. I just don't think they beat anybody. So I think you have a lot of question marks with them. So I was looking for some value here, and I thought that if Penn State is able to get the draw that they were given so far, and they got to play Arizona State, which I'll be betting the over in that game, that's for sure. But if Penn State's at 10-1, they could possibly get to play Boise State in the second round. I mean, Penn State could walk it out here to where they get to play Oregon or Tennessee or maybe another rematch with Ohio State in a game that, if you really watched that game and you went back and you looked through the whole thing, Penn State probably should have won that game. If they score one time on the 1 yard line, they win the game. They had 8 plays on the 1 yard line, they didn't get any points, not 1 point. And I don't think that'll happen again. So I think Penn State, there's some value there. Also thought there was some value in South Carolina. We gave that out a couple weeks ago. They're 125-1 now. I don't think they can get in. It sucks because they're playing probably better than anybody right now. So they would be a super dark horse. But other than that, I have a hard time thinking that anybody's worth a play other than Alabama at 16-1. Georgia's price is a little short for me, but I don't know. I can't back Clemson. I mean, no way. I don't know. This thing is wide open to me. I still think Georgia is the best team, but I'm telling you, in my gut, I'm thinking Penn State is a dangerous team here. I thought that for weeks. I've said it a few times on the radio show over here on Bettor's Last Stand. I know people say Franklin can't win it, and he can't. He really hasn't. So until he actually does, I'm as wrong as anybody about this, but my gut says they got a shot. And this committee, how they've ranked these teams is just, this doesn't make much sense to me. So I'm thinking Penn State's going to win this game tomorrow and beat Oregon. So what happens then? Who's the number one seed? Who is the number one seed if Oregon loses and Georgia beats Texas? Because I think Georgia's going to beat Texas again. So who's going to be the number one seed in this tournament? SMU? Boise State? I mean, what happens if that happens? Why can't that happen? I don't see, no one's been able to tell me that that couldn't happen. So I have no idea. I don't think these matchups that are on paper right here that they portray are going to possibly come to fruition. And I think you're going to have some chaos here. So take a shot on the team that you have a gut feeling about and go with it. That would be my advice. Let's go to Friday's games. It's Western Kentucky at Jacksonville State. Actually, this game is being played in Jacksonville, Alabama. So you got Jacksonville State minus 3.5, total 58. I like the under here. They played a 19-17 game earlier this season. I don't know. Western Kentucky's not the same team they were, a score fest team. They got a pretty good defense now. So I'm taking I'd lean Western Kentucky. They won this game in the regular season, but I like a tight one here, and I like the under 58 quite a bit on Friday. And I like all the games on Friday under, if you can believe that. Tulane and Army. This one actually at West Point Stadium. Mitchie Stadium, that is, at West Point. It'll be Army catching 5 at home, the total 46, down from the opener of 48. Tulane shut out Navy 35-0 a few weeks ago. I think that says under. It's the only way Army's going to stay in the game. They got to play the game
controlled ball possession like they do. So I like under 46 there. I think that's a strong play. UNLV and Boise. Mountain West Conference Championship, Albertson Stadium, Boise, Idaho. Boise has the home field advantage. They're laying 4. The total's 58.5. I like the under here as well. It was a close game, 28-24 earlier this year. I like Boise too. Lots of love for UNLV, but I think the Blue Turf guys get it done here. 4 of the last 7 in this meeting have went over. And Boise State is 7-0 all time against UNLV. So I think the Broncos roll here. I know that that has not been a popular play, so we'll go against the trend there and go with Boise and the under. Saturday's games, Ohio at Miami, Ohio. That's not really at. That's at Ford Field in the Mid-American Conference Championship game. Miami, Ohio, -3, the total 44.5. The Bobcats on a 5-0 run right now, ATS run. So playing pretty well. Miami, Ohio beat them 30-20 in the regular season. I'm leaning Ohio here in the points. The last 4 in this matchup have went over the total. I like the over 44.5. I think there'll be some points here. I think Ohio might be the hungrier team here. But I don't discredit Miami. There's been some sharp money showing up on Miami. So we're going over, and we're going with the Ohio Bobcats catching 3 at Detroit. Iowa State and Arizona State, Big 12 Conference Championship. That's really weird. Iowa State's Big 12 team, but Arizona State, this is very odd to say. This will be an AT&T Stadium in Arlington. It'll be Arizona State -2. This game opened Iowa State -1, went to Arizona State -2, total 51. It's the first meeting they've ever had. Arizona State on a 10-2 ATS run. Arizona State really impressed me last week. They're really good. I bet Arizona. That was one of the plays that I did lose last week in college football, and it was ugly. Arizona State just absolutely massacred them. They're going to be very hungry here. I like over 51. I like the Arizona State Sun Devils. Even around pick -2, I'd lay as high as 3 with Arizona State. I think they win this game, and I think the game goes over the total. Big 12 Conference Championship, that is. The Southeastern Conference SEC Championship, Georgia and Texas. It'll be Texas -2.5, this game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Georgia. So another weird element here. How in the world is Texas favored in this game? I just can't understand it. I just don't. I really, really don't. So I'm on Georgia pretty good here. I think Georgia wins this game. And honestly, Texas, when they lose this game, they truly probably shouldn't even be in the playoff. But 2 losses to Georgia, you're definitely going to get in. You just haven't beat anybody. Total 49.5 in this game. We'll go over the total. I think Georgia scores 35 themselves in this one. So, again, Georgia and over in the SEC Championship. Marshall and Louisiana doing battle at Louisiana Lafayette Field. In Louisiana, it's Cajun Field. So, it'll be their home field. They're -5.5 against the Herd. Total 56.5. Well, Marshall's on a 6-0 run as a dog. They're a 7-2 ATS run as a road team right now. So that bodes well. A little bit of love on Marshall, but I like the total here. I like the game under the total, 56.5. I think this is a very, very low-scoring, tight game. Lots of ball control. We'll go under 56.5. I thought that was very high. Penn State at Oregon. You know where I stand on this one. Oregon -3.5. This game at Lucas Oil Stadium. It's the Big Ten Championship, Indianapolis, Indiana. I like the over in this game, 50. I think that's low, and I think Penn State, who's on a 32-6 straight-up run, obviously the 6 losses that Franklin has are all against the ranked teams, the good top 5, 10 ranked teams, mostly Ohio State or Michigan. But he's got to get it done sometime. He's got to luck into one of these wins. In Oregon, they really, I don't know, they didn't play very well at Wisconsin. I think they're a good team, but I don't think they're a great team, and I haven't the whole season. Boise State almost got them. I like Penn State here. I think Penn State's got players, or at least Tyler Warren is really good. And if Franklin could just not screw this up one time, I think Penn State wins this game easily. And I like the game to go over. And I think Penn State is a team that could be dangerous in the playoff. But I'll probably be wrong, and I'll probably be cussing about Franklin next week on Better's Last Stand, show number 112, because he'll again choke in a big game. It's very possible, but to me, on paper, it tells me Penn State's got a shot in this game. Obviously, human element with Franklin, that could be a big problem. So enter at your own risk, or wager at your own risk. In the final game, the ACC Championship, Clemson and SMU. It'll be SMU -2.5, the total 56.5 in this one. SMU on a 7-2 ATS run. Clemson 8-0 straight up in ACC title games under Dabo Sweeney, 7-1 ATS. Those are strong numbers. Now, they have been significantly better than most of the teams they played here. I'm not sure that's the case here. I don't know what to make of this game. Sometimes Clemson, I think they might be on their way back, but after last week we were on South Carolina. Klubnik was horrendous in that game.
Can he bounce back? SMU's been a really good battle-tested team. I would lean SMU here. I really would. But Clemson's been here before, so they're not going to be intimidated, that is for sure. But we're going to go under here in this game. I know Clemson's had some big high-scoring games. SMU's defense has impressed me the last few weeks. They've actually had to make some stands in some games that were a little bit tighter than probably people thought they should be. So I like SMU. I leaned SMU, but I like the under 56.5. So again, ACC championship, we're going under 56.5. Big Ten championship, Penn State, and over. Sun Belt championship, we're going under 56.5. Southeastern Conference championship, we're going Georgia. Georgia plus the points, Georgia money line, and over the total. In the Big 12 conference championship, it's Arizona State we're going to be going with there. Either the money line or laying the 1 or 2 or 3 even. Go over 51 in that game. Ohio will take Ohio in the Mid-American Conference and over 44.5. Then Friday's games in the Mountain West Conference Championship, we're going Boise and under. In the American Athletic Conference Championship, we're going under in that game, the 46 or 46.5. And then the Western Kentucky and Jacksonville State game, Conference USA Championship game on Friday, under 58. Those are our BLS plays for episode number 111 in Championship Week here, and those will be posted at BLS underscore PRP on X. If you missed any of those, we'll have them on there for you. Probably they were on there yesterday. NFL, here we go. Week number 14. Oh, man. The more things change, the more they stay the same. But here come the Carolina Panthers. Four of five overrun for them. They're playing a little bit better football right now. They're catching 12.5, 13 against the Eagles. Total 45.5. I don't really have a play here. I'd lean Panthers. Don't know about the total either. Really just don't have a feel. But I'd be very careful about laying the 13 with the Eagles in that game because Carolina is improving and they got some momentum. Jacksonville at Tennessee. Tennessee won the first meeting 28-20. They're laying 3.5 at home. The total is 40. It opened 42. It's down to 39. Six of the last 10 Jags and Titan games have went over the total. That's where we're going to. I like that it started to come down to 39. We'll go over the 39 or the 40 or whatever it's going to be. I think both these teams have pretty much packed it in for this season, and they're just going to be trying things out. So I expect some points and some sloppy play there in Tennessee. New Orleans at the New York Giants. It'll be New Orleans -5, total 40.5. I don't get it. New Orleans 10-2 in December road games, so that's pretty good. That's a 10-2 run in their last 12 December road games, pretty strong. But the Giants actually did a few things okay to me on Thanksgiving Day. I know that was a really bad game, but I thought at times Drew Lock looked actually okay. I don't think he'll play in this game. Probably be DeVito, so I'll probably regret that. But I like the game under the 40.5, and I like the Giants. I'm taking the 5 at home. I think they'll find a way to hang around in this game, probably lose by a field goal. But the Saints are under no circumstance do the Saints be laying points on the road against anyone, against Wahama, Corpus Christi. I don't care. They should not be laying points on the road. Atlanta Falcons at the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings -5.5. Total 45.5. Cousins, there's something wrong with him. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in 3 games. His arm strength, his velocity, something's off with his lower body. I think it's preventing him from driving the football. So that could be a problem. Minnesota, they're teetering on the brink of still being okay, but not great. So I'm going to go under 45.5, thinking that Cousins is still a little bit hindered. This is a revenge game for him, but he's in no shape to be drawing revenge on anybody. So lean Minnesota in the game, but I like the late under 45.5. That's probably my favorite play about that game, but I don't love anything. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Of course, Cleveland upsets the Steelers right here on the Watchdog a few weeks ago. Steelers -6.5, total 44. And the last time they won in Pittsburgh, the Browns, was in 2021. 6 of the last 10 have went over in this matchup. Steelers laying 6.5, that's too many. I'm going to pass on the game. I'm not going to give anything. I do think the Steelers will probably win this game, but I can see the Browns backdoor scoring. They lose by 6, and I wouldn't want to get beat like that. So pass on that one. Raiders at Bucks. Bucks -6.5, total 46. I like the over in this game. I think both teams are bad on defense. Both teams sloppy. Tampa's kind of a mess all over the place. They can still score. Mayfield's battling, but they give up a lot. 8 straight losses for the Raiders. I mean, this game opened 44.5, so up to 46, so people are betting it over. I like the over as well, so we'll go over there. Jets at Dolphins, first meeting of the year. Dolphins -6 at home, total 45. 6 of the last 10 in this matchup have stayed under. But, man, the Dolphins 9-0-2 versus division opponents at home.
as a favorite of 5 points or more. They're favored by 6 here. So we're on the Dolphins. They beat up on the bad teams. I think they hammer the Jets pretty good. The Jets are about finished. Seattle at Arizona. This was a game that very much frustrated me a couple of weeks ago. It was a 16-6 win for the Seahawks at home. This time it's Arizona laying 2.5. The total 44.5. It's open 2.5. I actually got bet up to 3 on my last look. 7 of the last 10 under in this matchup. I like the under, the 44.5. We were on the under that day as well. We were on Arizona. Incredibly frustrating performance by Kyler Murray. I think he bounces back. They couldn't punch it in the red zone last week, but they moved the ball very well between the 20s. Little momentum. They're back home. Good weather. We're going with the Cardinals, and we're going under 44.5. Bills at Rams. Good game here. Bills minus 4.5. Total 49. I like the under in this game. I think both defenses will do a pretty good job neutralizing the other team's strength. So I think that will lead to less possessions and less points. So we'll go under 49. Small lean to the Rams catching the plus a field goal at home. Bills off a very nice win. Can they keep it rolling? They're really good. Josh Allen, clear-cut MVP in my opinion, but we'll go under 49. Bears at 49ers. 49ers minus 4, total 44. Bears catching all kind of money, all kind of tickets, I guess I should say, on the Bears. We talked about it. There's, let's check the percentage again. 70% on the Bears this week. Can't do it. I can't do it. They gave away a game last week. Eberflus gets canned after his ridiculous comment. I didn't even hit on that yet. I'm screaming at the Thanksgiving table that he's got to be fired as soon as that game is over. I'm screaming at it. Can't believe how that went down there. And then he doubles down the next day like an idiot, tries to say what he was doing was the right thing. I mean, come on. Again, what are these coaches? Do they all think that people are stupid? I've never seen a more arrogant group than some football coaches. They think they're so smart. And most of them usually end up with a pink slip. And that's what happened to Eberflus, and that was long overdue. So maybe the Bears do a little bounce here after the coach firing. But I kind of like the wounded San Francisco 49ers here. I know they got a lot of injuries. They got a lot of problems. They have no running backs. I mean, they're just a mess. But I think if Bosa would play in this game, could be all right. I think he's kind of a key to this defense. And I like San Francisco to play a valiant effort here. Everybody's saying their season's over. I like the game under, and I lean to the Frisco 49ers. So we go under 44.5. Small lean to San Francisco minus the 4. It's open minus 6 down to minus 4 because McCaffrey and Mason both out. Then the night game, Los Angeles Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs minus 4, total 43. Last time they met, 17-10 Chiefs earlier this season. Chiefs have won 6 straight in the series. All right, so I know you've heard me mention this a few times about the Chiefs. I get it. People are sick of them. I understand it. Totally fair. Has a lot of parallels to the New England Patriot run. All I hear out there in the community now, whether it's professionally, socially, this team's not that good. They're overrated. They keep getting lucky. On and on and on. Well, they've won 2 straight Super Bowls. They were in the Super Bowl 4 of the last 5 years. I don't think they're lucky. I don't think they're overrated. I think they deserve respect, and people are going to sleep on them again. They did it last year, and that's all I'm hearing is how bad this team is. All over the place. National media, like big-level media shows, whether it's sports betting or just sports in general, just bashing this team. Have we not learned our lesson yet? Did we not learn our lesson with Tom Brady and Belichick? I mean, this is the next best thing right here, Mahomes and Andy Reid. It doesn't matter who the other players are. It doesn't make a difference. When the game matters the most, they get the job done. And nobody else's team has done anything like this since New England. So I understand the frustration. I understand that you're sick of them. If you're a Raider fan, if you're a Bronco fan, if you're a Charger fan, I understand why you hate them. But I don't understand why teams or people that root for teams in the NFC hate Patrick Mahomes so much. I don't get it. He should be respected. The guy is a stand-up dude, and he's the best player in the game. And whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. You give him what Joe Burrow's got. Give him those 2 receivers that he's got in Cincinnati, and then tell me they're overrated. Now, Patrick Mahomes is underrated, in my opinion. He doesn't get any credit for how good this team has performed, whether it's pretty or not. They're still winning games. I don't care how it works out. They put themselves in a position to win the game every single week. And the only team that got them so far was Buffalo. And they've beaten Buffalo when it mattered the most in the playoffs. So
I hate to see it. I'm just trying to be objective about this, but people are missing it. Do not start doubting this Chief team. This run is impressive. I don't care what you say. Yeah, they could lose to the Chargers. They haven't been blowing people out, that's for sure. But do you want anybody else in a big game other than Mahomes? I mean, they go to Buffalo, they win. They went to Baltimore last year, they won. I mean, this team, they have no wide receivers last year, and everybody said they were finished. Their offensive line is a concern to me. That is a concern. Their defense, it's still been okay, but maybe not as dominating. But this team raises their game when the games mean the most. And trust me, Buffalo did not see all the cards up the sleeves of the Kansas City Chiefs a few weeks ago. They're saving them from when the games matter. When the games matter and it's win or go home, that's when they show up. So don't doubt them here. I'm not saying they're going to cover this four. I'm not saying that they're not going to lose this game because the Chargers are tough. But I'm saying respect the Chiefs, and I'm tired of hearing people just bash them and say, oh, the Chiefs are terrible. They're the worst Super Bowl team ever. That's just fundamentally wrong. You're wrong on so many levels. They should be commended. But same thing happened with New England. Everybody hated Brady. Everybody hated Belichick. They were overrated. They were terrible. They barely could win their games. They only won by a couple points each time. They always got the calls. Good teams put themselves in a position to win, and that's how it goes. So I'm all in on the Chiefs. I'm not saying they'll win the Super Bowl, but I'm saying they're going to win at least a playoff game. They're going to make a run. Somebody's going to have to beat them because they're not going to beat themselves. Monday Night Football, Cincinnati at Dallas. Just can't get over this line. Cincinnati laying 5.5 on the road at Dallas. Now, I know most people were able to watch these games. If you're in this market, you definitely watched the Dallas in the Giants game on Thursday, and you saw the Steeler game in the Bengal game on Sunday. Tell me which team, in your opinion, is better by just looking at the teams and watching the games, Cincinnati or Dallas? Because to me, it really isn't even close. Dallas is better. Dallas is catching 5.5 at home. Now, I know they haven't been good at home. The total's 49.5. It got bet up from 44.5 based on the fact that people think the Bengals' defense suck. They're 8-2 to the over in their last 10, which is true. But look at the teams that Cincinnati's beaten this year. And tell me how they're favored by 5.5 in this game. They beat the Giants. They beat the Browns. They beat the Panthers. And they beat the Raiders. Arguably the four worst teams in football, minus Jacksonville, who I don't even think they played. Which, no, they didn't play. So there's their four wins. Now you got Dallas. They beat your Steelers, the best team in the AFC North. We proclaim them the division champions here and over their win total. They beat them. They went to Pittsburgh and beat them. They beat Washington at Washington. And they also beat the Browns, the same team that the Bengals beat in a tight game. And they beat the Giants two times, also one of the teams that the Bengals beat. So explain to me how. Now, I know Dak Prescott is not here, but it doesn't really matter. And they got Brandon Cooks back. They played a lot better last week. You had to say, whether you're a big Mike hater like me or Jerry Jones, you know he's a clown and he's never going to win ever again. But you got to say, you got to give credit where it's due. Cooper Rush and those guys are settled in a little bit. Rico Dowdle ran well. They played good on Thanksgiving Day, I thought. I just don't know how in the world they can be getting 5.5 in this game. I got to tell you right now, I think Dallas wins this game. I think Dallas wins this game relatively easy. And I probably would say it could be an over game just because how bad Cincinnati's defense is. But I'm not really loving the over here. I could see this game staying lower scoring. And I can see Dallas matching up pretty good with Cincinnati. They can rush the passer, and that's going to be a problem for the Bengals. So I love Dallas in this spot. I would play them on the money line. I would play them on a reverse line. I would play them on alternate spreads, -3. I love Dallas in this game. I think they roll Cincinnati, and I think finally maybe we can just be done talking about Cincinnati being favored every single week here on Bettors Last Stand. It's just, it's not right. I mean, they lose every week, and they're still favored. I don't follow it, but that's okay because we're producing winners for you here on Bettors Last Stand. All right, that's going to do it for us here. Hopefully you enjoy NFL week number 14. Hopefully you enjoy the college football championship week. We'll know next week who the teams are in the 12-team playoff. That should be intriguing. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of teams that get screwed. My Miami Hurricanes, just quickly on a personal point, people have been texting me saying your team's getting screwed, blah, 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 blah. Alabama shouldn't be in over you. Yes, they should. They're better than us by a lot. I know we have some We had a comparable opponent in USF, which we beat a lot worse than they did. But if you just watch the games, like just watch the games, you'll see Alabama is much better than Miami. Trust me, Miami, I wish they wouldn't have blown those games. They lost the two decent teams on the road, so nothing to be ashamed about. If there was 16 teams, they'd be in. But they didn't do what they needed to do. They blew a huge lead at Syracuse and played awful with Georgia Tech, and they just don't have a defense. So Cristobal's got to go back to the drawing board. He's going to lose Cam Ward, and he's got to get a defense. Miami's always been known for a good defense. They have not been good this year. So I don't feel bad about it. They don't deserve to be in. Alabama definitely deserves to be in over them, but there's probably some other teams that maybe have a beef. I'm not certain that Notre Dame should be in the playoff. We talk about weak schedules. They're weak. Texas's schedule is weak. So you have some SEC teams. I know people think that bias is there, but they just have better teams in that league. It's just plain and simple. Again, watch the games. Look at Ohio State losing to Michigan at home. It's just it's an inexcusable loss. It's not as bad as losing to Northern Illinois at home, but it's pretty bad, and it almost should eliminate you from the playoffs because you can't tell me that the teams that Ole Miss and Alabama lost to are any worse than them. But we shall see. Hopefully Alabama gets in. I hope they do so they can prove some people wrong, but we'll see. Georgia is probably the team to beat if I had to pick, but look out for Penn State. We'll see. We'll see what happens, though. That's why they play the games. Anyway, that'll do it for Bettor's Last Stand, show number 111 on our final Football Friday. Bettor's Last Stand will be back with you, though, in the weeks to come. In the Friday time slots may adjust a slight bit based on Mountaineer basketball and so forth. And don't forget, Watchdog basketball season right around the corner. We got high school basketball coming up from several local schools. Wheeling Central and Ferry kicked it off on Tuesday night with the Maroon Knight Ladies getting the job done against the Purple Riders. And we'll have the full high school basketball schedule coming out here in the coming days here on the Watchdog Network. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the college football. Enjoy the pro football. Enjoy the soccer. Enjoy hockey, whatever else, basketball. We have plenty more to talk about here on Bettor's Last Stand next week in show number 112. Until then, we will see you next week on the various Pine Room shows here on the Watchdog and for high school basketball action in the coming days. Again, thanks to our friends at Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club for sponsoring us on Football Fridays, our final Football Friday of the year here on the Watchdog. It was another great season. We enjoyed being involved as much as we were. Hope you enjoyed it as well. And again, thanks to our Watchdog family, Kayleen, Rocky, Howard, Lola, Bob, all the crew that does such a great job here at the Watchdog Network. That's going to do it for us. Bettor's Last Stand, show number 111. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. Stay warm out there. And we will see you next week on Bettor's Last Stand.